right, so we got up and we stretched our legs and we are back, man. Thankfully, we had to take a page out of Rex Ryan's book, man.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
We were hungry, brother.
Dude, seriously, we needed a little break, man. Our blood sugar dropped, so we had to get on that. But I'm totally stoked that the NFL is back. Totally stoked for the regular season. And here at the Sports Brew, man, you know, the captain, D-Stat, the Twitter Terminator, the Fantasy Failhorn, we are all just so excited that the NFL is upon us. I know all of you are, too. I mean, this is really one of the best sports times of the year. You got baseball. You know, you get all these crazy pennant races. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, the Orioles are in freaking contention. The Orioles, dude. I mean, seriously?
The Baltimore Orioles, the Washington Nationals, and the Pittsburgh Pirates are all in playoff contention. Maybe the Mayans were right. Maybe this is it.
If the Nats have to keep, you know, pulling Strasburg out anymore, he needs to go visit Chad Johnson and get a box of condoms. All these pullouts, man. I mean, seriously. Something's not right here, man.
Don't visit Travis Henry or Sean Kemp because they didn't pull out soon enough.
No, don't hang out with Travis Henry, man, or Sean Kemp. How many kids do those guys have? Who's the other one? Is it one of the Jets players?
Oh, Cromartie.
Cromartie. Yeah.
He's a little bit behind there.
No, I don't think he was going from the... Never mind. Obviously, he doesn't know the Strasburg pullout method either.
No.
Well, that segment is just disastrous. Wow. Sorry, guys.
Got too much of a snack there. So.
Yeah, apparently too much of a snack. Yeah. I mean, seriously, did we just go there? We did.
Look, very quickly here.
It's an outrage.
It is an outrage. That's what a lot of Nationals fans think. That's what a lot of baseball fans think. But I think the Nationals are doing the right thing with Strasburg here. They're limiting his innings. I think they could have done a better job starting him out in the bullpen and then letting him start. But they're doing the right thing here. It's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow. It really is. But I've got one name for you. Mark Pryor. He was overused in 03 when the Cubs were trying to get that World Series. And quite frankly, I don't blame him. But after that year, he was never the same. And he was a beast, man, on the mound.
Yeah, I get it. I just, once you look at the season as a whole, I think what just disappoints me is they could have just, I don't have so much a fundamental issue with the inning limit. It's not that part. I just really think it's the overall management of Strasburg for the season. And I think if you had broken him in a little bit more slowly, starting out the bullpen, that's what another team did with one of their pitchers that had the Tommy John surgery, is you work him back in, and you're saving him for that last part of the year and if you have a playoff run. So they didn't do that. It's too late to change anything about it at this point, obviously. Thankfully, the Nats still have a pretty good, you know, pitching staff, so maybe they can still make some noise. But you got to get in, and then after that, man, you got to hope you still have some bats. You still got some, you know, heat coming off the mound, and maybe you can pull that off. But it's going to be a bummer to not see Strasburg, you know, for all the Nats fans out there. Although, quite, you know, I mean, some of his starts lately, it's not like he's been fantastic. I don't know if that somewhere in his head, you know, I mean, he knows it's pretty much the end of his season. I'm not sure quite what's happened with him.
Yeah, he didn't have a good outing tonight, and in 5 days on the 12th will be his final start of the season at the Mets. So it's probably the right move. For the long term, they've got decent pitchers right now that will get them through the playoffs.
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's not any huge shock. So, Shane, let me ask you this.
Sure.
What is your game of the week? Thinking of all the stuff that's coming up this weekend, we're already through the Cowboys and the Giants. We'll chat about that in a second. But if you can only watch one game this weekend, I know you'd want to say Indianapolis because you're a Colts fan. So I'm going to give you two games of the week. I got to give you a pass because, you know what, I need the same thing because I absolutely have to watch RG3 and the Saints. So let's just say two games of the week. But outside of the Luck Bowl, you know, what is the one game you feel you absolutely have to watch? And give me your thoughts on what's going to happen in it. Give me your, like, pick.
Jacksonville, Minnesota. No, I'm kidding.
Fail. Don't tell me that, man.
Very simple, and we think it's going to be a playoff matchup. It's San Francisco at Green Bay. I don't think there's any doubt that this is the game of the week. This could determine home field advantage in the NFC in week one. You've got San Francisco, who's going to win their division. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Right.
You could put Achilles Smith as quarterback and they'd win that division. that you're going to...
Akili Smith.
Tim Couch.
Oh, my God.
Donovan McNabb.
There's a name you're not going to hear very often, Akili Smith.
No, San Francisco should win that division, no doubt. It's just a matter of are they going to be the one or two seed in the NFC. At Green Bay, who went 15-1 last season, San Francisco, I believe, was 13-3 last season. So I think you're going to have whoever wins that game will have the leg up on the other for home field advantage.
That's going to be a significant game.
So I think that is the most significant game of week one.
All right.
You have a Pittsburgh at Denver game, which is a nice Sunday night game. You have Pittsburgh, who's got fans everywhere,
dude.
Peyton Manning coming back from the surgery. I would say those are probably my two big games this
week. Well, who do you like coming out of that San Francisco-Green Bay game? I know that's a tough call, man.
It is a tough call, but I just think the Packers are just going to be so pissed off about what happened last year. Now, to me, San Francisco is the absolute most physical team in the league. But in a league that's based on quarterback play, I like Aaron Rodgers much better than Alex Smith. And I just think the Green Bay weapons get it done in this game. They're all fresh. They're ready to roll.
And ready to roll.
And they're so deep at receiver.
Ready to do some Lambo leaps.
Absolutely. I mean,
hey, do you think if Randy Moss scores a touchdown, does he, like, fake moon everybody?
Why not? Did it before.
Why not?
Go for it.
Yeah, I don't think he busts out the, you know, the butt celebration.
Probably not. It's not a playoff game.
I don't know that Harbaugh would be so happy about that.
If he's winning, I don't think he would care.
Maybe.
He's a player's coach, man. Look, that's going to determine most likely home field in the NFC in that game.
All right.
You hate to say that week one, but the year after New England won the Super Bowl and they started to do the Thursday night openers, they played Indianapolis, and when New England beat the Colts, that determined home field. I think it's kind of like the same thing. Whoever wins that game gets home field in the NFC. I hate the hyperbole, but I think that's the fact. That's the fact, Jack.
That's the fact, Jack!
Yes, sir.
That's right.
What you got?
All right, well, obviously the first game I have to watch is going to be the Redskins at the Saints. Very curious to see what that offense actually is. My impression is that the Redskins have been kind of sitting on what they really want to do. Pierre Garçon. I like the setup for Pierre Garçon in that game. The Redskins, in all likelihood, are going to have to score a lot to keep up with New Orleans. I don't think their secondary can contain Drew Brees. Not at home, dude. Not at home, man. They have such a phenomenal home record. And the Redskins, I think the Redskins' defense is going to be pretty good. I like their front seven, especially if you have a healthy Kerrigan. Well, Kerrigan and a healthy Arakpo, I think, is a better way to put that. London Fletcher's just a machine. I'm not totally sold on their linebackers, but you know, I think schematically they're going to have a very good front seven, very solid, stout against the run kind of deal, and be able to bring some pressure on the blitz. But you know, Drew Brees is a very veteran guy. They are well-schooled in that offense up there. He knows how to run it. He can pick teams apart. Obviously, Darren Sproles is just an amazing weapon in New Orleans. It still blows my mind that San Diego let him get away. And he's so phenomenal. You know, undervalued, dude. That's an under-respected guy. Undervalued guy.
Norv Turner.
Yeah, nice job, Norv.
Yeah, you let Michael Turner and Darren Sproles go. Great job.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That depth chart at one time was LaDainian Tomlinson, Michael Turner, and Darren Sproles.
And they still didn't get it done.
And Phillip Rivers, and Drew Brees, and Vincent Jackson, and Antonio Gates.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
And they failed. Marty. Oh, man. So cold.
Okay.
I think Schottenheimer should have gotten at least one more year out of that team. That's when Merriman was all juiced up.
Yeah,
he was
ready to roll.
He was hanging out with you and Lance Armstrong. He was also finding ways to mask those peds and whatever else he was on.
Well, he didn't mask them very well because he got caught.
No, in the end he did. So we've gotten a little off track here.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Yeah, look, I know y'all like it when we get off track and we tangent jump and toppy jump. It's kind of the way it goes here with the Sports Brew. What are you going to do, man? It's a podcast. You know what? We don't have a producer in our ear.
That's right.
We don't have a commercial break lined up in 30 seconds.
So we don't have sponsors.
We don't have sponsors at the
We'd
moment.
We'd like some.
Yeah, we would. So we can kind of go on random rants and raves, and hopefully you stick with us. Because we'll say stupid things like the Strasburg pullout method, which is always kind of fun. So, you know, you have to get through the podcast to find those nuggets. They exist in every single episode. So for our loyal listeners, your mission. it's like an Easter egg hunt, you know.
Find our tangents.
Find the tangents. Find your laughs. It's a beautiful thing. But anyway, so that the first game really for me is going to be the Saints and the Redskins. I don't expect the Redskins to win that. That's unrealistic. I would like to see a few, you know, plays with RG3 where you go, wow, that was phenomenal. I don't think the defense is good enough to deal with the Saints. I think they're going to turn the ball over, whether that's one of the running backs puts it on the rug, puts it on the carpet, goes like David Wilson did with the Giants and kind of coughs that ball up, or RG3 throws a couple of picks. He's probably going to get tattooed by somebody. So we'll see. To me, it's really the Saints game. I'm not going to get into spreads and all that stuff. You know, well, I'll leave that to D-Stat.
Going to be some growing pains.
Down there, it's a big game opening up in the Dome, dude. So I like the Saints in that, but I'm going to have to watch that whole game. The other thing, I actually agree with Shannon. If I was only able to watch one other game, it would be the Green Bay San Francisco game. Obviously, I'm very tempted to take San Francisco. I think they're in a great position to make a big statement. If they can come out and beat Green Bay in Green Bay week one, that really solidifies, you know, what they are, what they represent this season. And I'm very curious about Randy Moss. You know, does he come out? What does he actually have left in the tank? I've taken a flyer on him in a couple of fantasy leagues. I don't love Alex Smith, the quarterback. Obviously, I've made that pretty clear. But they have enough weapons on offense with Manningham, Vernon Davis. I don't like Michael Crabtree that much, but they're not asking him to be a one at this point. You know what I mean? So they've got a couple of 2-3 guys in Crabtree and Manningham. If Randy Moss has anything left in the tank, if nothing else, he's going to attract coverage, which is going to help the other wide receivers. It's going to help Vernon Davis. It's going to help the running game. And quite frankly, if Alex Smith isn't more productive this year, at some point, maybe we start to see a transition. Maybe not this year, but I think you really have to start talking about
Colin Kaepernick.
You know, if you don't really see a progression from Alex Smith this year, maybe they sneak in some funky Wildcat plays or some other plays with Kaepernick. I'm going to blame the beer on that, because if I'm mispronouncing his name, it's only because he hadn't started in the NFL yet.
Well, he hasn't, so.
So, hey, look, if Robert Griffin is known as Bob Griffin, I can call Colin Kaepernick.
Backup San Francisco quarterback.
Backup quarterback. That's what you get.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
You got to earn it, bad boy.
Yes.
That's what you got to do, man. So anyway, I can't get his name right, but at least I can play a soundbite. That counts for something. You know what I'm saying?
It's an outrage.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, President.
Yeah.
Mr. President.
Thanks, buddy. So anyway, I'm going to take Green Bay, though. You know, again, I'm feeling the mojo coming off last year. I'm very tempted to take San Francisco. I think that's going to be just a tremendous football game. And the only one after that I would feel like I'd really want to see, not so much because I care specifically about Denver, but I really want to see how Peyton Manning looks playing a game. It's going to be odd to see him in a Bronco uniform for a full game. I know that's really strange for you, but I want to see him make some throws. I want to see how he handles the huddle, how he handles the, you know, does he do all the kind of crazy arm flapping, moving everybody around like he did in Indy? I mean, you know, in Indianapolis, he was the offense. He was his own offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He ran the deal. He ran the show.
He made the plan. He made all the changes. At halftime, he made all the adjustments. The guy just had total control. He knew what he was doing. And you don't see that anymore, that a guy just knows all the ins and outs and just does it on his own. Now, I wish he would have gotten a little bit more help, obviously, back in the day. But
seriously.
Yeah. But still, I have so much respect for the guy. He was the reason I was a Colts fan. I was a big Peyton Manning fan. And I hope he does really well in Denver. I think he's going to struggle a little bit early. But I think he figures it out, and down the stretch that they end up getting a lot better.
I got to tell you, the only quarterbacks that come to mind, obviously they're going to be elite quarterbacks, that can do what Peyton Manning does. I'm not saying they do, but I think they could. We know what Peyton Manning is capable of. I think Drew Brees can do that. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron Rodgers can do that. And I think Tom Brady can do that.
I would put Drew Brees and Tom Brady ahead of Rodgers at this point, though.
Yeah. But as far as really being able to run absolutely run that offense and essentially be their own offensive coordinator.
Right.
Those are the guys that when you look around the league that I have the most confidence in being able to do that. And actually, you know, Drew Brees is maybe essentially going to have to do that this year.
He will have to.
So
do that.
We'll see. But yeah, the Denver-Pittsburgh game, very curious to see how that plays out. I think there's some question if Harrison's going to play. I think he's got some issues with his knee. Dick LeBeau had his 75th birthday recently, so happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really cool that he's still coaching. He's in the Hall of Fame, right?
75,
yes,
right?
75, man.
75 years young and still doing it.
Yeah, he's old enough that he's actually a person that's named Dick. Do you know any people under 30 named Dick?
No.
I mean, seriously. Actually, do you know any people under 40 named Dick?
Not many.
But Dick LeBeau can actually carry that name.
He can. He carries it well.
Yeah. He was ahead of the curve. Never mind.
This is... He's a hard dude, man.
Oh, my God.
You know,
that defense likes to go after those balls. I mean, where are we going here?
Up.
We have nowhere to go but up. Somebody's digging a hole. I hope hope their cornerbacks have good hands. All right, we got to stop that.
Yeah.
Denver Pittsburgh is the other game I really want to see. So I guess I kind of cheated because I said we ought to stick to two, and I've gone, you know, New Orleans and the Redskins. I think the Saints win that. We've gone Green Bay and San Francisco. That to me is really a toss-up. I could see San Francisco winning that, but I'm going to take the Packers at home, and then, of course, Denver and Pittsburgh. And I like Denver in that matchup mainly because I don't know, man. I just think Peyton's going to be – I think he's going to be able to deal with Dick LeBeau's defense.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, he's been able to do that. So, but a fantastic setup for them. But since we're talking about upcoming games, I think we have to acknowledge what just happened this week with the NFL season opener. And that was the Giants and the Cowboys. And I wasn't really high on the Cowboys. It's not because I'm a Redskin fan. I was very concerned about, obviously, Witten. I really thought they should have held out of that game.
Yeah.
He didn't do a whole bunch in that game. I know he had the flak jacket on, but... You do not want to cost your team a key player he was a decoy.
He was.
He was a decoy. He really couldn't do a lot. Obviously, he's not right. And I know he got medically cleared, and allegedly he was willing to sign the waiver. But I just don't know that he should have been out there. At the end of the day, maybe that was, you know, in part a motivational thing. Maybe they needed him to be a decoy, wanted him to be a decoy. He didn't have to do a lot. I was a little bit concerned about Dez Bryant's knee. I was also concerned about Miles Austin's hamstrings. I've made the joke that to some of my Cowboys friends that the Dallas Cowboys should have drafted an additional, you know, some extra hamstrings for Austin in the draft. But look, man, their offensive line looked very shaky to me,
mm-hmm.
and I was not happy with the refs. I know that there's been a lot of articles this week talking about, oh, you know, the replacement refs did okay. And as far as I'm concerned, they were also shaky.
Yeah.
You know, they had the blown call on Victor Cruz, which really they should have blown the whistle on that. I don't know that the Giants would have walked away with a touchdown off that, but, you know, they probably would have gotten a touchdown
out chance.
Of that one.
Good chance.
Pretty good shot. Of course, Victor Cruz, look,
wow.
He did not get the salsa dance.
Fumbleina.
Yeah, I mean.
Droppelina.
Well, look. You know, we've talked on the sports group about how much we want bobbleheads, how cool that would be, official sports group bobbleheads. It would be sweet. Well, Victor Cruz in that first game against the Cowboys had bobble hands.
Yes, he did.
That's what he had. Dude, he couldn't catch a cold.
No.
It was tragic. And, you know, I like Cruz. He's got his contract. I don't quite know what happened to him.
Sophomore
bad mojo.
Slump, man.
Yeah, maybe, man. You know, he did not deliver in game one. I really thought the Giants looked rusty. In some parts, I thought they looked tentative.
They just didn't. They did not look as fast as Dallas. They did not look as intense. Now, Dallas made a lot of errors in that game.
They did.
At least the errors that were called by the replacement officials. They had, I think, 13 or 14 penalties.
They had a ton of penalties called
in that game. But still, I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, the guy who... clean Jerry Jones's glasses was just awesome.
Oh yeah,
he got him spick and span. Tony Romo did very well in that second half. I got to give that dude credit. I know he gets just piled on.
He does get piled on. And he did have that pick to Boley. Well, I should say Boley made a nice play on that and picked that ball off.
Right.
Of course, they had to essentially horse collar that guy down. Right. You know, and then the refs blew that thing on Cruz. But, you know, Romo rebounded very well.
He had
after
a good
that.
Game. Very yeah. good game in the second half.
Yeah.
And,
it really opened up quite a bit in the second half. It was kind of slow going first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then both teams made some very good adjustments. Other than David Wilson couldn't adjust to, you know, figuring out how to not fumble. So, although he didn't get much of an opportunity to do anything in the second half.
Right. He pretty much left off where he was in college. He was known as a fumbler, and he tried to correct that. And in the first game, he lost a fumble. And
look, man.
There you go.
If you're a fumbler, you're not going to spend a lot of time on the field with Tom Coughlin.
No, ask Tiki Barber that.
It's not going to happen. So, oh, wait a second. Where's that? Didn't we have a thing about balls? Oh, yeah, we did. Hold on. Balls. Al Roker balls. There it is. So, yeah, David Wilson obviously coughed that up. There's some speculation that he was crying on the sideline. He issued a statement, I think, via Twitter saying that he wasn't actually crying. And then some people are like, yo.
Extra sweat.
Yeah, it's just a little sweat in the eye, dude. But you see people going, hey, man, look, I have DVR. I can rewind that. Saw on the sideline crying, man. It's just passion for the game. You don't have to apologize for it. But anyway, as far as the fumbles, like, if he keeps that up, he's not.
No.
Even if he gets in, if Coughlin cannot trust him, they better pray and hope that Ahmad Bradshaw can stay healthy.
Oh, man.
Now, you mentioned Tiki Barber earlier. And when Tiki Barber had a fumbling issue, you know, Tom Coughlin explicitly worked to make sure that Tiki Barber was going to resolve that fumbling problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if I recall correctly, Tiki Barber had to keep a ball with him at virtually all times, and people were trying to get that ball away from him. So he really had to work to take care of it. And I think they may have to employ the same tactic with David Wilson.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because, hey, you got to hold on to your balls.
You said balls.
That's right. You got to keep a firm grip on those balls, man. It's very important. So, David Wilson, that's for you, buddy. Stay on there. Keep a firm grip on those balls. Don't fumble, man. Keep
it
tight.
What did you say?
Balls. Just remember.
You said balls.
That's right. Hey, Shannon, what do you think about that?
What did I say?
You said balls.
Apparently I said balls.
Yeah. Where's that? Hold on. You know, if we're going to talk about balls, there's no way we can't mention Jerry Jones.
I want me some glory hole.
Just remember that, David Wilson. Balls.
And some glory hole.
I want me some glory hole.
There you go. You got to take care of both things, man. You got to square that away, buddy.
Take care of your balls and the glory hole.
That's right. That's right. I think if you can square one away, you can deal with the other one, too. So, you know, a little bit disappointed overall with how the Giants looked. I said before, I think that the Cowboys have to come out. I think they have to start the season strong. I do think they're a little bit of a front-running team. They need it. And if they can stay healthy, that's going to be a tough offense to defense. You know what I mean? Obviously, Ogletree had a huge game. At this point, I want to refer to him as the Ogletree because he was just a monster, dude. Mm-hmm. He ate him up. I know the Giants did not have Prince Amukamara. JPP dumped him in the cold tub one too many times. He just, you know, couldn't get loose and get out there. And he's got some ankle issues. I think he's going to miss a fair amount of time. But, you know, Ogletree was phenomenal. And, you know, if you remember last year, it was Laurent Robinson coming out of the three for Dallas.
Right.
Had a lot of big games.
The year before that was Miles Austin.
Mm-hmm. The year before that, Miles Austin. So for all you fantasy people, if you haven't done it yet, consider Kevin Ogletree.
Ogletree,
man. Consider Ogletree. He may be a valuable pickup if he's still available in your league.
I was going to say, he's probably been swept up in every league.
He may be, but, you know, keep an eye on him. He might be somebody that actually is fairly productive. He's year four, so it's kind of a good time. Year three, year four for receivers is a nice kind of sweet spot if they're going
to
make it.
When they finally start to get it.
Yeah, everything starts clicking. So, good game for the Cowboys. Very quality win for them. They need that. I think the Giants can rebound a little bit more readily with an early season loss. It's just an opinion. Their running game is probably still going to be a little bit weak, but, you know, they've got a lot of nice weapons there, too. You know, if Victor Cruz doesn't have bobble hands, it may be a slightly different outcome on that. I thought Martellus Bennett played well, you know, in the tight end slot for the Giants. I like that pickup for them. He did get that late touchdown, so I like that. Eli Manning, of course, looked – I thought he looked good enough.
He looked okay. You know, I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't terrible.
Well, he would have looked a little bit better if some people had held on to some stuff.
If Victor Cruz had caught those passes, he probably would have been close to three Bills. So.
Yeah, and, you know, if you got three Bills, you're probably having a pretty good game. Yeah. And he did, you know, obviously they moved the ball very well second half. Bradshaw popped off a couple of nice runs. Some of that, I think you got to blame the defense. They left kind of a gap open there. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if that was a stunt or what. But Bradshaw, he got like this 36-yard. I mean, it was just a hole, man. Nobody from the Dallas defense came where they were supposed to be. Bradshaw was just like, oh, look, daylight. I'm going to go. Poof.
Daylight, yeah. Come and me want to go home.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go Chris Berman and say DeLone, but
no.
No, none of that. That's okay. So, look, it's week one. I think both teams look a little bit rusty. But, you know, Dallas got it done. Going up to New York, that's a great win for the Cowboys.
Very good.
And if I actually was a Cowboys fan, I would play that Jimmy Jones. Apparently, I was thinking of a sub. Jimmy Jones. Are you delivering 5 minutes? Let's find out.
Yeah, let's get that.
Yeah. But if I was a Cowboys fan, I would totally rock that Jimmy Johnson. How about them Cowboys? Yeah! Soundbite. Woo! Yeah. I'd rock that soundbite. But since I'm not going to play it. Instead, I'm going to play this.
I want me some glory hole.
And they went up there to New York, and they got them some glory hole.
Give me a little D-stat.
A little D-stat?
Woo!
That's right.
There you go.
What were you getting ready to do? Because you wanted to woo, but you wanted to woo for what?
I can't remember.
That's okay.
Woo!
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
That's right. So a quality win by the Cowboys. We'll see how that shakes out the rest of the season. Hopefully the refs are better. You know, one of the Giants players actually made the comment, one of the Giants defensive linemen, made the comment that he hasn't been held that much since he was a baby.
Wow.
You know, that's a pretty bold indictment of the refs. Again, they're shaky, but, you know, it's game one. There's plenty of times we watch a couple games early season and we go, oh, my God, this team is so good. And then, look, there's midseason, mm-hmm. and some teams are round in the form, round in the shape. And then there's late season, and some teams obviously get it done late, some fade late. So we'll see if the Cowboys finish as strong as they open. Not sold on them yet, but if they stay healthy, they're going to be a little bit tricky because of that offense, you know. And Brandon Carr and, you know, the guy from LSU.
Yeah, Morris Claiborne.
Morris Claiborne. I think they're going to give Rob Ryan a fair amount of flexibility. And by the way, why do people keep giving Rob Ryan crap about his hair?
Dude, he's just the coach.
They say he's like a pirate. Have you heard
he's
that
He's not
one?
Mike Leach. Come on.
Rob Ryan, man.
The only reason he's getting that because he's Rex Ryan's brother. I mean,
I don't know. People are like, oh, he looks like a hobo. He came off the street, and, you know, he needs a patch. He looks like a pirate.
Who cares, man? Let the guy coach and let him do his thing. I think Jason Garrett's got a cap on him this year. I think, as a whole, I think the Cowboys are kind of shutting up with the hyperbole here, and they're just getting down to brass tacks.
Yeah,
which I do like that. That's a good thing, except for Jerry Jones. And his glory hole.
That's why I was getting his glasses cleaned, man.
Yeah, he's a boss, man. Getting the glasses cleaned by another dude, that's a beast right there.
Yeah, that's something. All right, so we've kind of, you know, been beaten up on the NFL. So we'll kind of see how everything shakes out with, you know, the season again. It's not always how you start, it's how you finish. I think we've seen that evidence plenty of times over the last couple of years. I did want to get a couple of last quick kind of NFL hits in. Number one on Chris Cooley. Obviously, I'm disappointed with that cut. I was really hoping he would be able to stick on the Redskins roster this season, but I'm not sure his time in D.C. is done. And I know he had a very emotional press conference. You could see that, you know, it was really important to him to be part of the Redskins and to stay there. But you know, he's had some health issues. He was not productive in any capacity last year, obviously. I think he had like 8 receptions for 65 yards, which is, you know, there's plenty of tight ends that square that away in a game. Gronkowski might have done that in a, you know, on a bathroom break, but that's a whole different deal. But Chris Cooley to me is very much kind of like one of those face of the franchise kind of guys, not necessarily from the standpoint of, you know, he's got rings or he's a Hall of Fame player. I don't think he's on that level, but of course the Redskins don't have any rings over the past like 20 years. But he's almost like a Mr. Redskin, you know. The fan base loves him. He's a good player. His body has betrayed him a little bit. So I kind of understand why they made the move. Obviously, they've got some other, you know, Fred Davis, I think, is poised to have a good year.
He's ready to take the reins, yeah, and be the man.
They've got Niles Paul they're trying to convert. You know, they've got some other tight ends on the roster. So, you know, Chris Cooley was in a very kind of precarious position. But the good news for all the Redskin fans out there and for the Cooley fans out there, number one, he hadn't signed with anybody else. He did hire an agent, and I'm sure he's exploring some options, but Bruce, whoops, and the computer's making noise at me, but Bruce Allen, just don't crash.
Please.
Please.
Please don't.
Please don't crash. But kind of a neat side note is that Bruce Allen was talking about Chris Cooley, and they're staying in contact, and they're going to have lunch or have dinner or have drinks or... As long as Chris Cooley isn't showing Bruce Allen his playbook while he's trying to read it, they're probably okay. But I think there's a realistic shot that Cooley comes back kind of as a non-guaranteed guy, you know, lower salary, minimum salary. I mean, his cap hit was way too big for realistically what he was going to give the Redskins this year. But I'd love to see him come back, even if it's at a reduced salary. And, you know, again, this is where some of that cap nonsense with, you know, all the crap that
John Mara Cop.
That's one of our references from an earlier podcast. If you don't get it, pull that up. And we were talking about the cap penalties and the Redskins and the Cowboys. But, you know, I think that it's $36 million total, $18 million this year, $18 million next year. I think Cooley is in part a victim of that kind of scenario. So we'll see if he comes back. Other kind of NFL wrap-up thought. Did want to take a moment and acknowledge the significance and the contributions of Art Modell. I know he gets a lot of grief from a lot of people, but very much a pioneer in certain capacities for the game. And I think it's a mistake. Number one, I think it's wrong he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, how is that guy not in the Hall of Fame? Seriously.
That's wrong. And yeah. I know there's a writer out of Cleveland, if I remember correctly, shocker, shocker, that has campaigned very actively against Modell. Look, if somebody picked up the Redskins franchise and moved it, I'd be pissed too. I get that. But I'm not a Cleveland Browns fan. I can't fully empathize with what you went through. But that being said, if you take the body of work over the duration of his life with the NFL as an owner, what he accomplished, you know, setting some things up when you're talking about TV and media and some of what he did, man, it's just he's a big contributor to the game. And I hope they do across the board in all the stadiums this weekend. I know there's rumors that they want a moment of silence for him or for him to be acknowledged. I hope that in Cleveland they can be respectful of him in spite of the pain and the hurt that's there. And I know that sucked. I get that. But the man just passed away, and I think you can acknowledge what he gave to the league, to the sport, you know, in spite of, you know, kind of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah,
thing.
let's all be grown-ups and just move on. And, just a few seconds of your time, do it, and move on. That's all.
Yeah. So, rest in peace, Art Modell. You know what? I'll tell you one something funny. When I was a little kid watching football games, you know, they have, especially on the East Coast, they have, like, got to go to Moe's or whatever, that sports goods store, right? Modell's. Yeah. And I actually thought that not only did he own, like, the Browns, but that he also owned the sporting goods store. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool, right, man? You know, you can go to the game, then you can go to a store, man, and hang out. I'll sports everywhere. Obviously, I was incorrect in that, but... You know. Anyway, I thought that was kind of fun. But rest in peace, Art Modell. I hope the league and the franchises do recognize you. You know, in spite of some of the hatred that's probably flowing from the Cleveland area, I don't know that they're burning any jerseys, but they're. I don't know how much you know how many sincere. Let me rephrase. I don't know how many sincere condolences are coming out of Cleveland regarding Modell. Probably a little bit more so in Baltimore.
Yeah, Ray Lewis spoke glowingly. John Harbaugh, right? Yeah, John Harbaugh, Ozzie Newsome, a lot of those guys that are mainstays there in the Ravens organization are speaking very highly of Mr. Modell.
Yeah. So rest in peace, buddy. Now, speaking of football, we would be remiss here on the Sports Brew because, you know, we love sports and we love football and we have clearly made known our love for the NFL. But if we're going to talk about our love for football, we got to talk about our love for college football. And for those that didn't know, the Twitter Terminator is actually doing a top 25 poll. And so we're going to get into a little bit of college football over the course of the season. It's not just going to be all NFL, though that's probably going to dominate things. But there's so much good, there's so many good, you know, college football storylines and teams. And there's a lot of fun to be had. So don't just watch football on Sundays, baby. Oh, my bad. NFL, so Thursdays, Sundays, Mondays. There's a whole bunch of gold out there for Saturday as well. So tell me a little bit about this top 25 poll, Shannon.
I was asked at the beginning of the season by this website called relativesports.com. You can find them on Twitter, at relativesports, if I would participate in a weekly top 25 college poll. Well, that was one of the things as a kid that I always did. I always liked to do my own top 25 poll. Come Monday when I was in like some sort of like speech class, I would be bored and I would break out a piece of paper. I'd do my own top 25. So I've been doing this for a while, just for the hell of it, just on my own. So when they asked me to do it, to be a part of it, I thought, sweet, sure, I'll do it. Went ahead and did the preseason poll and then watched the games in week one, and then I've got this as my top 25 currently, going into the Friday and Saturday games.
Are you going to post your top 25 on the Sports Brew Facebook page?
Yes, I post it every Monday on the Sports Brew Facebook page.
Oh, beautiful. Facebook.com/Sports Brew, man. Look at you can get on the top 25 action, baby.
Like it.
That's gold.
And I also, along with posting at top 25, I will throw in parentheses where I had the team last week.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can see who's moved up, moved down, all the movers and the shakers there. This week I've got Alabama number one. They were my number one team coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is if you're the national champion, you come into the season as the number one team in America until you are knocked off. Now, and quite,
if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Beautiful.
They are who we thought they were.
That's right.
That's right.
And Alabama's number one.
Let me tell you something, man. When you've got the best coach in all of college football as your leader, and you give him weeks, more than 1 week of preparation, I will not bet against Nick Saban at all. That guy is a beast. He once turned down a dinner with President Bush when he was the coach of the Dolphins because he was in training camp. The president was in Miami, and he still said no. That's how dedicated that guy is.
That's hardcore, buddy.
He is hardcore when it comes to football.
Is he still addicted to Little Debbie snack cakes?
I would imagine he is.
Probably.
That's how it keeps going.
Yeah.
My number two team this week is USC. Matt Barkley just looked so impressive. I had them preseason number three. I just like that performance. Yeah, it was against Hawaii, blah, 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 blah. But Matt Barkley is a boss. Robert Woods is the best receiver in the nation. You got that combination along with all the other studs that Lane Kiffin's getting for that offense.
Dude, that offense is going to be cooking, man.
Oh,
I think
gosh.
Barkley is going to unleash some serious aerial assaults this year, dude.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. For me, the Heisman's going to come down to him and Geno Smith of West Virginia. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Well, why don't you round out your top five and then give me some movers and shakers in that top 25, buddy.
I got LSU at number three, Oregon at four, Arkansas at five. Let me round out my top 10 real quick. I got Florida State at six. I had them moving up four spots from 10 last week.
Nice.
West Virginia at seventh. Like Geno Smith a lot. I think he's the second best quarter. I think he's a Robert Griffin type. Dark horse Heisman mm-hmm. this year. I think he will be the second best quarterback behind Matt Barkley. Number eight, I got Georgia. I had them preseason number four. I like the schedule they had going into the season. I thought that they could run the table.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think you took Georgia to be in your championship game.
I did. Yeah, I'm not feeling as confident this week. They go to Missouri. Missouri's been talking a lot of smack. Saying they were Georgia looked old and slow and like old time football, but when you got hosses on that line that can just punch you in the mouth and knock you down,
mm-hmm.
we'll see how tough you really are. Number nine, I got Oklahoma. I had them eighth in the preseason. I didn't think they would be as good as advertised as what people think.
Mm-hmm.
They did not look good against UTEP last week. I think that they will lose a couple games in the season. 10, I got Clemson. That was a very impressive win over Auburn in the Chick-fil-A Classic. Really not a lot of surprises in my top 25. I had Utah. I thought that they could be a really big surprise in the Pac-12 this year. However, they lost to Utah State on the road. They will be out of my top 25 next week. I've got Washington in there. I think that they're another Pac-12 team that can surprise. They play at LSU this week. even if they lose at LSU, I'm not going to drop them too far. Well, unless they get beat like 70-0.
That's a tough place to play, man.
Oh, especially on I think it's Saturday night, and they never lose Saturday night in Death Valley. That is as tough a place to play regardless, but at night, oh, forget about it. I've got Mississippi State in my top 25 at number 23. But
come on, man.
Look, they're a team that's in the SEC West, and that is the absolute toughest division. Not conference, toughest division in all of college football. You've got Alabama, LSU, and Arkansas. That's three of my top five already. I had Auburn in my top 25 last week, but after that loss, I dropped them out. I also dropped out Florida. Despite the win, Florida just looked like a big bag of fail. I don't know what Will Muschamp's doing with that team right now. I really have no idea. Yeah, he's got to get it going this week. They go to Texas A&M, and I think Texas A&M's going to win that game. I don't think there's any way Florida wins that game unless if they just really, really, really improve a lot from week one to week two and just don't make the same dumb mistakes. Let me get back off my tangent, get back to Mississippi State. When they came out of the tunnels on their opening game.
Dude, seriously? Somebody turned down the smoke machine.
Apparently,
it's too much.
The smoke machine was a little too much.
Too much, man.
And couple guys fell down, and there was a great picture on CBS Sports this week. It showed a bunch of the Mississippi State players just falling all over each other.
Okay, so let me get this right. Not only can they not figure out how to make an entrance, and they tackle themselves running through smoke, which you're going to give them enough credit to be in your top 25.
They won 51-7 or something. I think they're going to be better than what people think.
Well, they had to do something after that kind of fail coming out of the tunnel.
Right, and Dan Mullen was the offensive coordinator under Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
So Urban Meyer doesn't mess around. Okay, he's a really, really, really good coach, and he's going to get really good coaches under him. And this is Dan Mullen's fourth year in Starkville, and I think this is a time where he may or may not beat the big dogs in that division. He may lose to LSU, Alabama, and Arkansas, but that's three of my top five.
Right.
If they lose to those three teams, am I really going to drop them that much?
No. It's tough to,
I mean, sometimes, yes, you have to if they get their butts whipped by them, sure.
Well, if they get absolutely handled, that's different than if they, play good games, but they happen to lose to, really superior teams, and they should be superior teams.
But I think they will steal one of those three games. Not sure against who, but I think they steal one of those three games, go 1-2 against the big three top dogs in that division, and I think they are a top 25 team this year. They got a lot of guys coming back.
I don't know, man.
They won't challenge for a national championship, don't get me wrong, but they should handle Auburn this week, and being in the SEC is tough enough.
Yeah, buddy. That is the beast of football, and I mean, holy moly.
Yeah.
But SEC football is where it's at, dude. I know there's a lot of people that are high on the Pac-12, but if you only give me one conference to watch college football, it's going to be the SEC, man.
It's going to be the SEC. Look, later on in November, when it's Alabama versus LSU again this year, Alabama's offensive line has three first-round picks at least on that line. LSU's entire defensive line is made up of first-round picks as well. So, in all seriousness, if you're an NFL guy and you're going to watch one college game this year, watch Alabama at LSU. And if you're going to watch one matchup, just watch that line matchup. I mean, those guys, it's going to be a dogfight. If all those guys stay healthy and you got a Alabama line with no injuries and an LSU line with no injuries and those guys are going at it, it's going to be like watching an NFL game. I mean, they're going to get after it. All of those guys are first-round picks.
Woo!
Yes, sir. But
nice.
If there's a fun team to watch other than like a Matt Barkley USC offense, watch West Virginia. Geno Smith is absolutely ridiculous. Okay, in the playoff game, please, not for another 2 years.
Playoffs.
in the bowl game.
Yes, 2014, buddy. Don't make me fail you for another sports brew drug test.
Well, I may have just failed there, but Geno Smith in the bowl game dropped 70.
Nasty.
They were one extra point missed from dropping another 70. They scored 69 this week. So in his last two games, Geno Smith has dropped 139 points. No interceptions. I can't even tell you how many touchdowns. I mean, it's just unfathomable. I think he had 4 incompletions the whole game against Marshall.
I mean, that's just playing lights out, man.
I mean, that is beast. And he had a rushing touchdown in the game as well. I mean, it's... Listen, they... Matt Barkley and Geno Smith, if you can watch those guys play this year, do it. It's worth it. It's worth your time. They're going to put up gaudy numbers. They're going to make defenses look silly. It's going to be a lot of fun. Each week, D-Stat's going to pick a list of games that he's going to personally bet on, and I will either agree or disagree with them. He'll throw his picks out there, then I will state why I agree or disagree. You can check it out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportsbrew. That's it for college football, man. That's
give me a couple college football games you're looking at this weekend as kind of like must watch or your kind of your big picks, you know, for what's going to go on. Maybe an upset special, man.
Let's go to the SEC, obviously. Texas A&M's first game, they're going to host Florida. I like Texas A&M to beat Florida. I think Florida's just the name recognition gets them in the top 25.
Of course.
From what I saw last week against Bowling Green, they just looked like just total ass. Yeah, they've got some guys on offense that can outrun a bunch of kids that aren't Division I players. When you go to play a game, you cannot get 12 penalties in the first half. I'm sorry. You can't do it as a college team and expect to win.
That is weak sauce, man.
That's terrible.
Weak sauce.
Look, I love Florida. I've always loved Florida. But I was not very happy with what I saw last week. And Will Muschamp, I don't know if he has a handle on that team or not. I really don't. I hope he does. They should show more improvement this week. But going to Kyle Field, playing at Texas A&M with the 12th man, I like the Aggies to win their first SEC game. Now, on the flip side, you've got Georgia going to Missouri in Missouri's first SEC game with Missouri talking all the junk in the world about Georgia. Look, Georgia, for me, this is one of the tough games on their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got 4 starters suspended on their defense. And Missouri's known for their offense. I think Georgia's going to be very motivated going into this game. Even if you have 4 starters on your defense that are suspended, you have SEC caliber players as backups. And I think that Georgia responds. They've got a senior quarterback in Andy Murray. They only put up 45 points last week against Buffalo. Not the Bills.
Not the Bills.
Not the Buffalo Bills.
No, no.
Okay. But Buffalo, the college. And yes, Georgia was my dark horse team to make a national championship. I don't want to get away from that. I like Georgia to win that game tomorrow. It's going to be a little high scoring. The defense is going to suffer a little bit, but they've got the guy who led the SEC in sacks last year. And if their D-line can own that Missouri offensive line, I think they will be okay.
Solid.
I don't think there's going to be a really good game that just grabs you tomorrow. It's just one of those weeks where you're just kind of like, if this is a week where you got to do some yard work and you can maybe catch one game at a 3:30 or a 7, go ahead and do it.
They need, like, NCAA red zone.
Yeah.
That's what they need. Yeah, we're trying to help you out, man. This is going to be a fun weekend, dude. It's like football overload.
It's Christmas, baby. It's Christmas.
It is. I mean, it's phenomenal. So, anyway.
Before we wrap it up, look, I love college football. I've always loved it since I was a kid. But if I had to choose this weekend between college football and NFL, I'm going to take NFL. Not because it's opening weekend, but because the slate of games isn't exactly the best in the world.
Yeah.
I just like the 2 SEC games just because it's the openers, the first game ever for Missouri, first one ever for Texas A&M. And it's going to be interesting to see how those teams respond stepping up in competition, which will be in conference play. Look, NFL's back. Thank you. We're happy to have it back.
Oh, my Lord. Seriously,
and,
dude.
Yeah, let's get this thing going, man. I'm stoked for Andrew Luck. I know my man here is stoked for RG3. I'm stoked for both of them, to be honest with you. And they may not start out great, but it's the beginning of new paths for both teams. It's the beginning for basically all teams. I mean,
the fresh season always gives you new hope.
Start right? off 0-0, baby.
Yeah, man. Everybody has a chance at the moment.
So even you're telling me there's a chance.
I'm telling you there's a chance. Even the Rams, I guess. People forget, but you know, you think back to the last time the Rams were really bad. I mean, that was a horrendous team that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That ended up being a Super Bowl caliber. I mean, they showed up in a hurry. Now, I'm not saying the Rams are going to – don't get me wrong. I don't think Kurt Warner's going to show up out of nowhere and all of a sudden, you know, they're bagging Lombardis in those grocery bags. I'm just saying – don't be shocked if there is a team that rises up this year. Mm-hmm. Who it's going to be?
Happens every year.
Yeah, it just does. And you may not know in week one. You may not know in week five. But by the time we get to that playoff crunch, man, there's going to be somebody that's making that playoff push. Mm-hmm. It's part of what makes the NFL so great. Well, unlike the Strasburg method, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up over here. Yeah, the Nats might have to pull out, but not us, baby. We're just wrapping up, man. So, a couple little quick hits wanted to touch on real quick. Number one, little send-off for Andy Roddick. I don't know if maybe there's more to the story, if he's just kind of losing a little bit of his edge or is just ready for the next challenge in life. Or maybe – I've heard – I think it was Jimmy Connors on Jim Rome today was talking that he had some speculation that maybe there were some injury issues that a lot of people didn't know about. But, you know, whatever the case may be, Andy Roddick's getting ready to zip off on retirement with a rather nice traveling partner.
Yeah,
good buddy.
Listen, he announced he was going the U.S. Open was going to be his last tournament on August 30th. And quite frankly, I don't know why he waited another week. I mean, he's married to Brooklyn Decker, who is just absolutely gorgeous. And he lost on the 6th to Juan Martín Del Potro.
Who?
The longest name in tennis. But he had a tearful farewell. She was crying during the entire match, but, man, retirement's going to be good for Andy Roddick.
I'd say so.
What's in the box?
Well, Andy Roddick's going to find out.
He's going to find out.
You said balls.
Exactly.
But I would imagine that they're probably going to start a family here soon.
Yeah.
He's going to be a stay-at-home dad and while she goes off to work.
Yes, because modeling on the beach and being in bikinis and looking phenomenal. That's a tough gig. But, yeah, that's not a bad retirement party.
Yeah, not
right
bad
there.
At all. And,
so, well played, Andy Roddick.
Well played. And
game, set, and that's a freaking fine match right there.
Yes, sir. And quite frankly, Andy, I don't know why you waited so long.
Yeah, well, that's what she said, dude. Hey, wait a second.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
The other thing for all you fantasy nutbags out there, we did have the Sports Brew Draft. We're gonna get chit chat a little bit more about that in a different episode. Obviously, we've gone long.
Had to cut that off today.
Yeah, well, I thought you were gonna. After I said we've gone a little long, I thought you were gonna be like, "That's what she said." Damn, you failed, dude.
No.
Seriously.
It was too easy.
It was too easy.
And that is what she said.
Yeah. About right. One of the guys I actually stayed away from in all my fantasy drafts,
mm-hmm.
Ryan Matthews.
Me too.
Stayed away from him. Broken clavicle.
Yeah.
Issues with his shoulder. Injury prone. He was hurt last year.
Every year.
The one person I actually did pick up to cover my butt, Ronnie Brown.
Okay.
Which is, you know, I took him really late, and actually I got him as a free agent in some leagues. It was just kind of a dart. And the reason why, because I do not think Ryan Matthews is going to get through a season. And there's no way I was going to take Ryan Matthews in the second or the third. Didn't want to touch him.
Nope.
You know, now he has not been cleared for contact for the game on Monday night. And I got to tell you, at this point with Ryan Matthews, I don't even think he's going to be cleared for contact on his wedding night.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. You know, that guy, oh, man, that's almost wrong, isn't it?
Pretty much.
I mean, seriously?
Wife cut him off already.
Yeah, man.
Or the coaches did.
Ryan Matthews, baby. Nope.
Fragile.
He's playing, yeah, flag football. Flag football, buddy. That's great as a pastime. That's not great in NFL. I hope he can stay healthy, but I don't trust it. So if you guys are starting Ryan Matthews, you better be very careful. Speaking of other freaky injury concerns, if you have Arian Foster, I hope you have Ben Tate as your handcuff, because I don't think there's really a legitimate concern with him. I know he had a little knee soreness, but look, they're playing the Dolphins, dude, and you do not need to work Arian Foster that hard. When you've got Ben Tate as your backup, you know, if he's got a little residual knee soreness, get him 10, 15 carries, get him out of there, because you know what? They should be crushing the Dolphins.
Why even give him that, man? Give him the day off, let Tate handle the load.
No, I mean, you got to screw with fantasy players' heads. He at least has to be suited up in the starter and then take, like, five snaps. Now, no one, Arian Foster, he...
So you're taking the Mike Shanahan method.
Yeah, we're gonna go to Shanahan method, and that would be the other fantasy caveat. For any of you people that have Royster, Helu, or Alfred Morris, I hope you have fun rolling the dice every single weekend until
good luck
either...
with that.
Yeah, until either one person clearly, you know, seizes the lead role... It's probably going to take injuries or a monster game. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has come out and said that he likes all three of them, but I don't think they're really going to show their hand.
In other news, Kyle Shanahan also liked Rex Grossman and RG3 and Cousins.
Yeah, great. Thanks for that news flash, buddy. So, yeah, Ryan Matthews, I don't think he's going to stay healthy. You better have another running back if you got that dude. If you got Foster, I hope you drafted Tate. I love him over the course of the season, though. I think Foster's going to be a monster. They just don't need to play any games with him week one against the Dolphins. And, you know, for the rest of these guys, we'll see. It's kind of a funky year for running backs if you didn't get...
Slim pickings.
Yeah, if you didn't get Foster, Rice, or McCoy, you can make an argument for a few other guys, but there's not a lot of elite depth at running back, so you better be ready to play. You know what's funny? People complain about Shanahan, that, you know, Shanahan is the, like, fantasy running back devil. But do you know what we've been reduced to in fantasy football? We are all Mike Shanahan. Unless you have Ray Rice, Arian Foster, LeSean McCoy, and depending on your format, I mean, if you're talking standard versus PPR, there's some other guys that have a lot of value. But most of us have been reduced to doing, Shanahan shenanigans with running backs.
Hey, gotta do what you gotta do, man.
Yeah, so I hope whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your fantasy league is, I hope you made the right call and you play the hot hand, baby. It's going to be tough. Let's hope you get cleared for contact. Don't go the Matthews route. Anyway, as always, it's been a phenomenal time. Obviously, this podcast is going to be a little bit delivered a little bit later than we had originally anticipated, but we wanted to get our NFL predictions out there. We'll see, you know, if Matt ends up being the fantasy fail horn, if the Twitter Terminator can bag this thing, or maybe if Jerry and D-Stat, our resident Giants homers, end up being correct. I'm not really high on the Giants repeat. I think that's a lot to ask. It's
tough.
It's hard enough to win a Super Bowl, let alone win two. So, or let me rephrase that, to repeat.
Yeah.
That's a tall order. If they manage to do that, that's an incredible accomplishment.
I mean, you can count on one hand the teams that have repeated.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be an extraordinary run. You know, it's going to be a fun season, and we're looking forward to hanging out with all you guys and chit-chatting and, you know, running a little smack with the fantasy. Talking about the actual games, I'm sure we're going to have any number of topics once we roll through to next week. You know, it's a full menu on Sunday, buddy. Full menu. And then we got two games on Monday night. Although Oakland, San Diego, quite frankly,
not exactly worried about
that. Yeah, I don't know how many people really want to watch that one. Denver, Pittsburgh is definitely, you know, that's going to be one of the better night games. But anyway, full menu, full slate of NFL football. So going to be a lot of stories. I'm hoping a lot of these running backs that are a little bit banged up can kind of, you know, get, and this goes for a lot of guys. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is having back spasms from, you know, throwing too many Skittles in the air. And, you
taste
know.
Taste the rainbow.
Yeah, taste the rainbow. He better get some muscle relaxers in him.
Taste the rainbow, baby.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Nice. Thanks, Shaq. Ever helpful. Anyway, as always, it is a pleasure to do this, and we love sharing it with all you guys. So be sure to track us down on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Keyword Sports Brew. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/sportsbrew. You can trade a little jibba-jaw with my man Shannon the Twitter Terminator. McGuffin, of course, on Twitter, and that's going to be at VA Sports Brew. We also have some other things in the work, working on some blog posts. I think Shannon's going to do a little writing and kick that out through the page. So we've got a lot of stuff up our sleeves, and we're working on taking some calls. Got to make some equipment changes. I think that's going to be a lot of fun if we can pull that off correctly. No promises at the moment. We'll see. And, of course, it's not just the kickoff to the NFL season. It's really the kickoff to the fantasy season.
Absolutely.
So there's so much good stuff going on. We're going to hang out and watch some football. We're going to hang out and drink some beers. Yeah. We're going to hang out and talk a whole bunch of garbage. We may need to, depending on how good our teams are. I'm not quite... I think the Colts might be sneaky, get a couple of W's. The Redskins, we'll see. But it's going to be a fun journey. And this has been a fun journey.
Absolutely.
And we're still moving forward, baby. We're still rolling, man. Sports Your Nation is growing. And the best thing I can say is for anybody that likes this and enjoys it, feel free to throw some ridiculous posts up on a Facebook page, man. We'll comment with you. Feel free to tweet Shannon. He'll mix it up. Give him some crap about Kentucky. Make fun of the Wildcats. You'll really get them riled up.
They really suck in
football. Yeah.
You're not going to get any argument from me there, man. They suck in football.
Football, they stink. Basketball, they pretty much crush everybody. So, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of good sports conversation. We have a lot of good things happening. Other than the fact our last podcast turned into a dibbit bag of fail. That really sucked. So
hopefully it doesn't do it this time.
Hopefully it does not happen a second time. But beautiful weekend. Beautiful football is back. We're looking forward to all of that with all of you guys and just having a good time with this. So, as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for writing. Thanks for emailing, tweeting, and everything else that everybody does. From all of us to all of you, this is the Captain. Peace out, baby.
Peace out.
Bam. Woo!